हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, just so it goes, we'll start with page 10, number 6. Committing sin on the strength of the name. The jiva takes shelter of the pure name, which is Sudashatva, or transcendental, and pure at all times. Quickly all the anartas, including weakness of the heart, will go away. When one becomes fixed in the holy name, one will no longer think of committing sin, and the effects of past sins will no longer influence one. This is due to purification of the heart. Sin may be analyzed in three stages. A sinful act is the final stage. This is caused by a seed of sin or a desire to sin. That desire or seed originates in ignorance, which is the root cause. All three are considered as causes of the suffering of the jiva. Right? So you have the original idea that we don't see ourselves as servant of Krishna. We think we're the controller and enjoyer. So that's the original. That's why it's called the original sin. It means it's just ignorance. You don't know the position. So because of that, then we have so many kinds of material desires, right? So that kind of desire, that's the seeds. Mm-hmm. Then you have the sin itself. Mm-hmm. It is guaranteed that quickly one will be purified from all sinful influence. However, inevitably there is a period between sinful life and pure state, and in this interim period there may be some relation with past sin, that is, some diminishing trace of sin. However, new sin is not being committed, and the past sin is quickly dissipating. Right? So there's the interim between when one has sinned in the past, and now one has taken up the process, and so the heart will be purified of all sin. So there's a gap in between when the heart is completely pure, and there's no influence, and the heart still has some impurity left from previous that's going away. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like that. Yeah. However, new sin is not being committed, and the past sin is quickly dissipating. The more one engages in the holy name, the quicker that sinful odor will vanish. Right? So it's a fragrance. You can tell. Right? Krishna promised Arjuna that he will never let his devotee fall into trouble. Since trouble is caused by sin, Krishna mercifully takes away all sin from the devotee. Right? Because the sin will cause one to act in inappropriate ways. So it won't be Krishna conscious. So Krishna, that's the whole problem with sin, is that the inclination is there to do things other than that are connected with Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right? Only with great trouble is the jnani able to control sin. But without Krishna's shelter, quickly he will fall from his spotless position. Right? That's mm-hmm. why the example is given of Vishwamitra. Mm-hmm. You know, by great endeavor, he's come to this position that he has, but then he falls. Mm-hmm. Well, Haridas Thakur, you see, is not putting in that big, big effort like Vishwamitra, the austerity, the knowledge, the practices and all that he goes through. But simply because he's absorbed in Krishna and chanting his holy name, therefore, he is unaffected by. He doesn't fall away. Right?
Maharaj, we can say that only with bhakti there is no sin.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All the others, then, it's going to... Because if you're dealing with, let's say, the jnani, because the karmi means... The karmi, okay, he does nice things and all that, but the point is first of all, can he only do the right thing all the time?
Yeah.
Right? There'll be some, Krishna says, you know, fire is covered by smoke. There's always some little imperfection. So that means he's accumulating, sin along with his piety. It may be the prominence of piety, but there's still some little amount of sin going on. Because he'll, you know, some rule he doesn't do quite properly, or this, like we even see Diti, you know, the mother of the demigods, said one time after eating, she didn't wash her feet. Right? And then Indra could then attack. Right? You know, same with Nala. He didn't wash his feet. He washed the front part of his foot. You know how you have the water, you just stick your toes in, but don't wash all the way to the heel? So because of that, his heel's impure. Kali Raj then could attack him. So little things like that, you don't intentionally plan it. It happens because of inattention or something, because you have, you know, the four defects.
Mm.
Like that. But predominantly it's pious. But it's still, you're going to be doing something. And then the jnani, the same fault will be there, but he's trying to give, so, and in the karmi, his whole desire is to enjoy. Mm-hmm. So that is firmly situated in that first thing of I'm the controller and enjoyer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right? And, but he's trying to work within pious seeds.
Yes.
Like that. But he's still not going to get rid of sin. He may, by his piety, remove reactions of bad sin. You know, of sin, but it doesn't get rid of the desire seeds to enjoy, right? Then you have the jnani. He'll be renounced, so he'll give up all those things that are about sense enjoyment, like that. So he'll give up the impious ones and the pious ones, right? So if there appears that then the sin itself and that, and then the desire seeds, those are he's not dealing with. But he still has the root of sin, which I'm the controller and enjoyer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of time before he falls back down.
Mm-hmm.
Because he hasn't actually gotten rid of them. The desire seeds are there, they're just not, he's not, with great trouble, he's not taking advantage of them.
Mm-hmm.
So only the devotee, because he corrects that first one, the original, mm-hmm. that it's about Krishna, then his performance of activities are not based on material desire. So that means then the second one is not functioning, so therefore then the third one's not happening. And even if there is some mistake there, it's a very superficial thing.
Okay.
Only with great trouble is a jnani able to control sin, but without Krishna's shelter, quickly he will fall from his spotless position. Therefore, as scripture concludes, only by taking shelter of the Lord in bhakti is safety guaranteed. Even if by an accident a devotee happens to commit a sin, he does not resort to the purificatory rites of prayaschitta and karmakanda. That sin is temporary, and by chanting it will be washed away, leaving no influence. However, there's another type of sin. If someone intentionally commits a new sin out of lust, thinking that there will be no bad effect because of the name's power in destroying sins, that person is not a serious devotee, but is known as a cheater. From his offense against the name, he will reap lamentation, fear, and death. Thus, two types of sinful activities may be distinguished, an unpremeditated sin and a premeditated sin. There's a gross difference between the two, according to scripture. Right? So now, at this point, we can see is now he's pointing out is that something may happen to the devotee in that sin, then by the chanting process, he doesn't have to follow any prayaschitta, and he will be purified, right? Like that. But he's pointing out that there's a difference between the two, right? So here we say, here's another aspect. In the, let's see. Okay. So, now in here, very important to deal. So one is you're saying, okay, it's based on the strength of the holy name. That. So then when he says that, he says someone intentionally commits a new sin out of lust, thinking that there will be no bad effect because of the name's power in destroying sins, right? That person is not a serious devotee, but is known as a cheater, right? So here, when we say premeditated, means, okay, let's go back. So here, it doesn't say that it's the lust that's the problem. Because that was dealt with before. Even if by accident a devotee happens to commit sin, right, where will that come from? It won't come from pure devotion, right? It'll come from lust. So now it's when you have that lust combined with thinking that there's been no bad effect because of chanting.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's very important to note this. Otherwise, then a problem will come up. So, like that. So now, that is the meaning when he says unpremeditated. Unpremeditated means just overwhelmed by lust.
Yes.
Premeditated means overwhelmed by lust and thinking that by chanting the holy name, I will purify myself. So therefore, that's premeditated. They don't have a problem with the lust. They think it's okay because by chanting, it will go away. That's the meaning of premeditating. Because I've heard this before taken that someone became lusty and they thought, oh, I could do this to, you know, engage that lust. And because they thought about it, that's premeditation. Therefore, then this is what applies to them and they can never be purified and this and that. They're not a devotee. They're this and that, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's very, very important to understand this because this is, you know, more commonly used than is appropriate. So in other words, that one has planned, one has been, like somebody may get distracted, like it was very common before. Devotee would be come along and then, you know, just they're just involved in something for months. You know? So then you say, well, in this they're thinking, they're planning and all that, so it's premeditated. But they're not thinking that by chanting I will counteract it. They're just overcome by lust, and lust in its path, it has how you thinking, feeling, and willing. So it has its process. So you're overcome by lust, not by thinking that it doesn't matter. I'm chanting, right? So in other words, this person doesn't think it's a bad thing because they're going to chant. And, you know, they say the glories of the name, and they're going to chant, so they don't feel bad, while the other person feels bad because he's committed some sin. But he still doesn't use prayaschitta, he only chants. Because chanting is the only way to get rid of this. Is this clear? Very important. Now, some may also distinguish, okay, the person got lusty, fell down, went away, and then he's not practicing devotional service, and then doing all this nonsense, and then he comes back, okay, that's okay. Because he wasn't doing devotional service. Or if before he became a devotee, he was doing all nonsense, that doesn't matter because he wasn't doing devotional service. But if he still is in his position of devotional service, and some sin is going on, then now we take it that he comes into this category. So then, you know, that's you can't get rid of. That's eternal damnation. Right? Does that make sense? So then they'll make that distinction. But then the problem comes up is then why does Krishna say then they're still rightly situated? Because we're saying is that when you go out, then there's no devotional service at all. But once you've taken up devotional service, you never not think in terms of devotional service. Right? You may not be practicing, but you still know Krishna's there, everything's there. You know what I'm saying? You may get bewildered, get distracted. You understand? So it's also not a good position. So either of these, if you thought at all about it, you know, does that make sense? You know, it's a fast day and somebody thought, oh, I'm so hungry, and then they think, oh, I could go here and get something to eat because he thought about it, that's premeditated, therefore he's a... You understand? Like that. No, that doesn't count. So either of these things happen within Krishna practice of Krishna consciousness, or they because they think, but it's thinking about it that there will be no bad effect because of the name's power of in destroying sins. We may think like that about the person. That don't worry, he'll chant. That's why we say that there's no prayaschitta or karma kanda. Because by chanting, it will go away. But he doesn't think that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay.
How to...
Two.
To help a devotee who is engaged in preaching and doing so many things, coming to Mayapur and everything. And at the same time, he have this... like mentality that He can do something inappropriate, but he's chanting and he has the guru who like burn up all the reactions.
Yeah, well, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. But if someone's engaged in the preaching, doing all nice service, but then now and again they get involved in things they shouldn't get involved in, without thinking that, but just thinking that this is bad, and then they try to get it together, and then by habit, then they may fall again, then they get it together, and that, then there's no, then that's what we're talking about, that there's an interim period between.
Yes.
Right? So, the interim period, ideally, is that there's been sin, you've stopped that, now you've taken up devotional service, but there'll be the odor, the flavor, the fragrance of it from before, so it may affect, you may get angry easily, or be lazy, or other things that are not appropriate Vaishnava behavior that are left over from previous sin. But it also means that if by accident it happens again, these things by from the past, because generally the sins are only going to be their own sins from the past. It's not going to be someone else's. Right? It's not going to be something new. Right? Like that, you know. So therefore then that just means that it's a little deeper. So it may take a little bit more time, because until that's cleared, then how do you get rid of the fragrance if you're still, you know, keeping the stuff around? Right? The other one is you've gotten rid of the stuff, but there's still the fragrance.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like that. Like, let's say the room's dirty. You clean the room, but it still smells for a while. But you keep the windows open and this and that, and then it clears up. Mm-hmm. So like that. So that makes sense. But the point is that they should understand is that this is not how it works. Means yes, the holy name will purify, but you shouldn't be committing sin on the strength of the holy name. You just accept that you're fallen and that you're and like that, and so then we're trying our best and something, you know, and then they should situate themselves accordingly. So in the case of ordinary sin, one can counteract it by prayaschitta. Right means just a reaction maybe, or this and that, but you don't get rid of the desire seeds, and you don't get rid of the propensity for that, and you don't get rid of the ignorance. So karmakanda can never get rid of those.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right? Means by gyan, you can kind of control the propensity and not take advantage of the desire seeds. But you still can't get rid of that ignorance. Only bhakti gets rid of the ignorance. But if one even thinks of committing sin on the strength of the holy name, there is no remedial measure. So serious is the offense. Even endless torture by the servants of Yamaraj cannot deliver him from the offense. Right? And if thinking of committing the offense to the name brings such suffering, thinking, how much more will be the suffering from actually committing such an act? Just by thinking of it, then you get. So like this. So in other words, the one is the devotee. It doesn't matter what is the sin, there's no prayaschitta, you just chant. But for the one committing sin, I mean, on the strength of the holy name, even if he does all prayaschitta, still there'll be no benefit. Right? For the devotee, he has to put no prayaschitta. So in other words, one should avoid this one. It's a bad one. You should avoid all of them. But Prabhupada mentioned this is the most abominable. Like that. An example is given. In scripture, one hears that the holy name removes the effects of more sins than one could commit in 10 million lifetimes. So that's the point of the previous one. These aren't exaggeration. That's the reality. Because you say 10 million lifetimes, that's a long time. But at the same time, compared to how long we've been in the material world, that's not actually that long of a time. Right? Just think of it. This universe alone, 151 trillion years. How many lifetimes have we had?
Many.
Right? Now if we just take human, then, you know, like that, a few demigods, okay, a few 10,000 years here and there. You know? Does that make sense? You know, we're not, obviously not Brahma, so we can't count that one from this lifetime. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So, It's so many lifetimes. So the whole point is that you know, it's more sin than can be committed by the whole, you know, this universe. like that. It's just, it's unlimited. So it just depends upon our surrender. Like we see devotees in a moment have surrendered. And others, then they take their lifetime. In countless places, the scripture states that by Nama Bhas, all five types of sin, even the greatest sin, can be removed. A person of cheating mentality, hearing this information, so that's the point, is that the mentality is cheating. That's where the problem comes. Right? Hearing this information will, with ill motive, start chanting the holy name. Right? So they're just going to continue on with the sin and take up chanting. It's another thing that taking up chanting, have faith that the holy name is so powerful, it will remove it. But at the same time, they should be serious about trying to give it up. They shouldn't think it's okay. They should be trying to give it up. And they know that the holy name will take care. That's why they're not turning to anything else. So... in the same way, a person may give up regular work as difficult and take the cloth of a renunciate, but still associate with women and wealth for sense gratification. Right? So you see here is that they're taking up the whole renounced position just because the grihastha situation is difficult. But it's not that they're giving up that desire or even that endeavor. So we see that there's a difference. Those who are trying to, does that make sense? Yeah. Using the position of an advanced renunciate as a means of enjoying as a householder is a great disturbance to the social order and the universe at large. So it's not even, it just disturbs, you know, someone's like, what's the big deal? It disturbs society and it disturbs the universe. Right? Yeah. Either as a householder, as a renunciate, there's no impediment to taking the holy name and perfecting one's life, provided one carries out his devotions according to the rules without offense. But to have the idea of committing sin under the shelter of the name is a great offense, which will block the path of bhakti. Right? So, in other words, one's sincerely trying, but he's not maybe getting such good results. That's not what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, and even I say, those who have a misunderstanding that, okay, you know, it's going along, but these things happen, but chanting the holy name gets rid of it. That's to explain why there's no prayaschitta. Mm-hmm. It's not saying it's all right. Does that make sense? But if one thinks it's all right, then that's a problem. And if one has taken up Krishna consciousness just to counteract the sin of one's life so you can continue on doing that sin, then that's really not all right. Right? One who is at the Namabhas stage by bad association is always in danger of committing this offense. But one who has Shuddha Nam does not commit this aparad. Those who have the shelter of the pure name always live in association of pure Vaishnavas and are vigilant to avoid offenses. They have a mind determined not to move from thought of Krishna, not even for a moment. But one not in this status should live in fear of offenses, particularly the offense of committing sin on the strength of the name. This person should constantly chant the Lord's name and by the grace of Guru get Sambandha Gyan, which will in turn give him real Krishna Bhakti and real Krishna Nam. Right? So if you have the proper Sambandha Gyan, then you understand what's the position. Who are you? Who is Krishna? The name, the process. Then that will give real Bhakti and real name. Right? If by fate one commits this offense, one should purify himself by association with pure Vaishnavas. Sinful desires are like thieves on the road of bhakti, and the pure Vaishnavas are the protectors of the road. Loudly call out the name of the protector. When the protector comes, the thief flees. Say that name in love and do not fear, for remember that the Lord has said, I am your protector. Right? So now, even if this is there, what's the thing is you have to take up chanting. There isn't something else. Yes?
In the modern professions, more or less sin is involved. Sin is involved, but they are doing it as a livelihood. Will that be counted as an offense which makes their progress little in Krishna consciousness
Are you talking about devotees or not devotees?
Devotees.
Okay. So the non-devotees, that doesn't matter. They're professional or not. It's a blockage. But what do you mean by it's sinful?
Because that is not according to Varnashram system.
I mean, what's not according to Varnashram?
Modern professions is involved.
But means having a profession is that in the Varnashram system you have Varna and Ashram. Is Varna not having an occupation?
Yes.
Okay, so then having an occupation, how is that? How is that a sin? Because they're a grihastha.
That is according to the scriptures. Now the occupations are like...
No, according to the scripture is you have a job. You have something that maintains you.
Yes.
That's the principle.
Mm-hmm.
Now in detail, the nice thing is to be able to do the things that are natural according to your varna. If not, then you might be taking up things that are less than your varna, or, you know, like this. You know what I'm saying? If someone is situated in pure devotion, or, you know, it means nicely practicing devotional service, they may even take up duties that are higher than theirs. But that's only because the people that should be doing it aren't doing it. But as soon as they're doing it, then they can do it, and then we won't do it. Okay? So then, here is also scriptures giving that you may take alternatives. So, does that make sense? Does that work? Yeah. So, don't look at it like that. It's just that these are just aspects of that, because you're either leading in the, you know, in the intellectual kind of area, and then based on that intellect you are making your living, right? Or you're working within the as an administrator, leading in that way. Or you are creating economics, right? So these are the three fields. Now, you have your standard fields that are recommended, and then you may have any, but it still will fall into these three categories. It's not something else, right? Then the fourth one means you're not leading these, but you are assisting someone else who is. Like that. So that's then how you have to look at it. What's the principle behind it? You know what I'm saying? Right, so what we call today professionals, in the Vedas they call them Shudras. That's the only difference. But in the modern, because it's a higher grade Shudra than other Shudras, therefore they feel more aristocratic.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But you shouldn't get too worried, because in Kali Yuga it says everybody's born Shudra. Right? But why is that say they're born Shudras? Because they don't use samskaras. The Shudras don't bother with samskaras. Right? You know, if you're born according to samskaras, then there's some consideration on whether you should be doing a shudra job or not. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
So now, in all these offenses, it seems that the solution is always the same.
It's always the same. You have to have that faith. Now he says, no, but this is so bad, you have to be more. That will keep you as a neophyte. If you go, yes, it's just the holy name. In other words, there is no other process of self-realization other than the chanting of the holy name. So in Kali Yuga, it is the process. And others support it. In the other ages, it appears it's those things, but it's not. It's the chanting. They're doing meditation, but they're chanting. They're doing yajnas, they're chanting. They're worshiping the deities, they're chanting.
Mm-hmm.
So in all of them, it's the chanting of the holy name that makes them function.
Mm-hmm.
So these other religious principles take a prominence, you know, by volume, because people are qualified and can do that. Well, in Kali Yuga, then if you can do some of these things, nice, you know, they're purifying and they're a nice situation, but it's not dependent upon them. So that's the whole thing. Is there's Krishna? It's all about Krishna, and so then Krishna is his name.
And his devotee.
Yes, and the devotees. Yes.
Because it seems that for that particular offense, without the association of pure devotee, the cheating mentality is staying, more or less.
Yes. It means any of these will stay if you don't have association of the devotees. So that's why you see the first offense That's the worst offense. This is the most abominable. This is disgusting. But that's the worst offense. Because by that offense, then you can uproot the creeper. Does that make sense? Or cover it so badly that you're not going to come around to it for a long, long time. You know? Okay, so in other words, take shelter of Krishna. He's the only one that can protect us from all these things. That doesn't mean take shelter and then go do again. It means take shelter to give this up. In other words, if we want these things to go away, and we're convinced of that, then Krishna will take them away. But if we say, oh, it should go, but we don't really want it to go, then it will kind of not go away. You know, it's just like, okay. Number 7. Giving the name to the unfaithful. Because he has not developed any faith in Krishna or the name, the materialist cannot even hear the name. To take up the name, one must have qualification. That qualification is faith, and faith alone. Like good caste by birth, good family, knowledge, social influence, or strength, and educational qualifications are not the cause for qualification of the holy name, right? So that's why this idea is that if the more professional we are, the better the movement will be. It's like, you know, 1008% bogus. It's just totally bogus. Means we engage our nature. If our nature is that of professional, then we should be a professional for Krishna. But to think that the professionalism itself is going to improve bhakti, you know, 10,008, you know, times the percent bogus. It's just, it has nothing to do with it at all. If it is, why is it our Namacharya doesn't have any of these? I mean, zero. Born in a Mohammedan family, right? So it's not a good caste. It's not a good family, right? Family has no knowledge about Krishna. They don't have any social influence within the Vedic, things like this. Strength, educational qualifications, none. He's taking it. But now, even if we have these, but if they're not Vedic, then what's so impressive about that? And even if they are Vedic, what's so impressive about that? Now, if you engage these in the Lord's service, then you can do all kinds of nice things. You know, it's just like brahminical activity should be done by Brahmins, right? You don't. It's not necessity that the Malechas and Yavanas are doing it because the Brahmanas are off, you know, at how you say at IIT, you know, like that, right? You know, so because of that, then you know, then the Malechas and Yavanas have to do the Brahmin stuff, right? So we're not talking that. We're talking that you surrender to Krishna, you take up the chanting. That is the only qualification. Faith and faith alone. There's nothing else. So if someone comes to the temple, they're a materialist, then they become impressed by what's there. They're chanting, they're like the kirtan, they're asking questions. So now you can explain to them. But the guy in the street who's you know, doesn't like the devotees or is blaspheming the devotees or making fun of the kirtan, you don't explain to him the glories of the holy name. You know, just try to convince him that, no, this is a great thing. Like that. The only qualification is faith, and faith means to have unflinching conviction in the glories and powers of the name. That is the statement of the scriptures. So if this faith is less, we still think you need prayaschitta, you need other things, you need these material qualifications. It just means that then, you know, those will be obstacles on our path. It'll be a little slower. And so you don't get into the fine details about the holy name with them. If one does not have faith, a real Vaishnava will not give him instruction on the name. That is the behavior of a Vaishnava. For if the faithless man takes the name, he will simply offend it. For instance, if one casts pearls to the swine, they will simply grind them to dust. Or if one gives fine cloth to a monkey, he will tear it to pieces. If the faithless take the name, they will kill themselves from the offenses, and simultaneously, he who gives the name to the faithless will lose all his devotional credits very quickly. Sometimes a faithless man, being envious, will beg the name from the Vaishnavas, but the Vaishnavas should understand that he is a cheater and refuse to give him the name. To take faith in the name, one must give up the cheating mentality and the desire for position and fame. The cheater is thinking, by taking the name, I will no longer have to fear committing sinful activities. By becoming a Vaishnava, everyone will pay dandavats to me, and I can get all sorts of service from others. Whatever position I lost by my previous activities, I can retrieve by chanting japa, right? He's there, successful in family or business or whatever it is, then, you know, it all goes south. So now, by being a Vaishnava, now then I can get all that back. Right? So we see it's a mentality, because it's the consciousness we're talking about, not the position. We see others, they lose everything, and then they see that the material has nothing to offer, and they take up Krishna consciousness. We're not talking about that. We're talking about they think they can get everything material back by Krishna consciousness.
Now, as you see, to get the name, is it connected to initiation?
No, just the, you know, the serious chanting and all that. But yeah, especially initiation, that wouldn't happen unless it's there. But you wouldn't, in other words, you wouldn't encourage them and get too much involved with them if you see that they're not serious.
Yes.
You know, it means they have the cheating mentality. Mm-hmm. Means they're not serious just because they're distracted by materialism and that, because they're, you know, just faith is weak.
Mm-hmm.
And but you can encourage the faith, mm-hmm. then you start to do. But if you see it's not about faith, it's just about material benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Whatever position I lost in my previous activities, I can retrieve by chanting japa. By this process, I can become very happy in this world. Not by the process of chanting, but by the process of taking up the chanting to get all the material benefits. This is the cheater's mentality. For qualification to the name, one must give up this attitude. If the guru gives the name to a faithless man because of desire for wealth or material possessions, by that offense to the name, the guru will go to hell. If by misfortune or accident a guru gives the name and instructions to a faithless person, he should have great fear. He should confess in front of a Vaishnava assembly and give up that disciple. If the guru does not do this, by that offense, he himself will become devoid of bhakti and will wander in illusion. Lord Chaitanya gave the order to give instruction in the name everywhere, but that means to give it to the faithful men, and by that, perfection will be reached. Right? So it doesn't mean that someone who's faithful, and then somehow or another, by bad association or that, they fall away. That doesn't mean that we're talking about that. Because you also have the instructions where the spiritual master will even pick up someone who's fallen.
Yes.
Right, so you have all those different. So you have to understand the difference. That means find out someone was a cheater and that's all, and is just trying for prestige. So then they give them up as a disciple. One can produce faith by loud sankirtana, and when the jiva attains faith, he will seek out a bona fide guru. So therefore, by kirtan, by the preaching, all these things like that, especially the kirtan, then people will get. They'll develop that faith. They'll get purified. So kirtan, prasad. And then slowly, so like the Sunday program, it was mainly kirtan and prasad.
Yes.
And then there was some discussion, some little like this. Yes. But the prominent, like Prabhupada do, at his programs, he'd do a half an hour of kirtan, then he'd discuss things for a half an hour, and then another half an hour of kirtan, and then prasad.
Yes.
Right? So it was predominantly kirtan. And then it would be things relating to the audience and like that. That was the temple program. Not, I don't know about going out to programs. But. From the guru, the faithful man will take the holy name and then easily achieve prema. When thieves, prostitutes, and rogues are made to give up their sinful mentality, one can give them instructions on the holy name. In this way, the name can be spread everywhere. Right? So by mentioning that group, then we know that, okay, then we have a chance. like that. Like that. But it doesn't mean, it doesn't mention cheaters.
Yes, yes.
Right? Because then that they, if they were before and they'd given it up. Like that. You know, it's like that, what do you call it? That man in New York when they were first trying to get a building. I can't remember what it, he was, I think, a lawyer or something like that, or someone dealing with land and stuff. And so he would dress really nice, come, always praise the devotees, praise Prabhupada, always this and that. And then I think at one point he said he needed, you know, 5,000 rupees to, $5,000 to secure the property, and then nothing was happening with it, and Ramanath kept going, and Prabhupada saying, go and get. And so when still nothing happened, when Prabhupada came back to New York, then he showed up at the guy's place and said, the Swami's here, right? So, okay. You've been able to cheat these, you know, boys because they don't know, but you're not cheating me. So you had to give the money back. So that kind of thing. You see, they see they can take advantage. That's what you're saying. So, but the others, then they're these rogues are asking like this. In this way, the name can be spread everywhere. It does not take, if one does not take these precautions, being guilty of aparad, one will go to hell. If the disciple commits offense, the guru has to suffer in his devotional progress. In this circumstance, both the guru and the disciple go to hell. Right? So at least they do things together, right? Togetherness. Yeah, association. Yeah. They get to share the same bucket, right? You know, like that. O Lord Chaitanya, being so merciful, you first gave faith to Jagai and Madhai, then you gave them the name. So wonderful was your personality that you created faith in all men. The Vaishnava should try to follow in your footsteps. So that's the whole. This is just a matter of don't do this and preach properly.
Yes. So when the verse in Bhagavatam comes that one may chant inattentively and without knowledge, inattentively by just as a matter of humor or something. That is for those like, you know, who are exposed to the holy name through devotees and they don't have any idea what they're doing.
Yes, like that. But even if they're doing it, still the same principle is there. Because now they're just occasionally. That just means that you're going down the street with the kirtan and someone across the street yells out, "Hey, Hare Krishna," like that. That means that kind of thing. Or if he turns to his friends and says, "Ah, what are these Hare Krishnas and all that, making all this," you know, like that. They get benefit. They're purified. It's a jyata sukriti. But for the devotee, then that's namabhas. It just means that he's not chanting the pure name because he's not really absorbed in Krishna. He's absorbed in other things.
So those people, they don't have this intention of cheating.
Like Ajamil. He wasn't trying to cheat or this or that or committing that. He was just calling his son. But his son's name was Narayan. And then from that we also see is that he remembered his past activities as a devotee. You know, or as a Brahmin, like that. And so then in this way, then he, you know, that benefit is there. But the cheating means that they're just thinking about the material benefit. You're using Krishna consciousness as a means of, as an occupation to get things. Does that make sense? Yeah.
What should be our dealing if we meet some teacher like that? How is our dealing with them?
Let's be pleasant and wrap things up as quickly as possible. Okay. You know, that's why there's watches to go, oh my god, is that the time? Or there's bathrooms to go to, or, you know, does that make sense? You know, visit your grandmother at the hospital. You know, there's always something. Yes, so, in other words, you give up that position and just take shelter of the process, the actual process. 8. Considering the name as equal to material piety. Haridas said, O Lord, Please note that the holy name is not to be equated with the pious activities mentioned in the Vedas. One should know the identity of the name. Krishna is the spiritual son, perfect, conscious, and inconceivably wonderful. Thus all the Lord's diverse forms can be similarly fully spiritual, including his name, Dham, and Leela. Right, because the Lord is Vishesha. So there's all, you can distinguish him. He is everything, but he also has the quality of Vishesha. So you can distinguish him from his devotees, from the Dham, from this and that. But at the same time, it's all him. Right? So because it's all connected with him, it's all transcendental. Unlike material objects and names, the Lord's principal names are non-different from the Lord. When the devotee chants the name, that name is coming directly from the spiritual level, from Goloka to the Atma, from the Atma to the body, where it dances on the devotee's tongue, in his mind, etc. If one takes a name with this conception, then it is the real name of the Lord with full power. But to take the name as a material object leads to sorrow. In truth, the name is the end, the goal, full of spiritual bliss, the perfection, and simultaneously the name has appeared in the world as the means for the jiva to come to that end. Thus, the name is both the means of purification and the end, prema. According to one's qualifications, the name may be acting as means or end. In the world, we can find two means. So here's another thing. So then if we understand also the name as prema, then if you're chanting the holy name in separation, you're absorbed in prema. You're absorbed in the Lord. Right? And then if you're with the Lord, then you're directly with the Lord. You know, in his personal feature. You know, it is that specific, his original feature. And if you're chanting the name, that's that same original Lord, but in the form of his name. So you're absorbed in either way. Does that make sense? Because yeah. Otherwise, there's sometimes the thing about how can Vipralamba be that great? Because the point is, it's Krishna. Right? In the world, we can find two means, the secondary or indirect means of purification, such as pious activities, and the principal means, which is the holy name. One should not confuse the two and equate them. By singing the name, transcendental bliss will come and make the heart dance. That actually is the essential character of the name. It is full of nectarian pastimes. That happiness is achieved by jnana. That happiness achieved by jnana and yoga may seem great in comparison to the shadow of happiness received from the material world. But in comparison to the bliss of the holy name, that happiness is scant. And so by karma, then there's not much, a shadow. So happiness gained from jnana and yoga may seem more because of that element of detachment or not engaging the senses. Right? But compared to the holy name. At the stage of sadhana, the purificatory stage, the name is the means. But in the pure stage, the name is the end and the highest bliss. Thus it cannot be compared to material pious activities. Even at the sadhana stage, the name remains pure. The anartas of the sadhaka only make it look impure. Right? So the name is always pure. It's not that, you know, when we say, it's not that someone's chanting the impure name. No, they're chanting Nama Bas, means it's the name, but because they don't see it in that pure way, they don't get the full exposure to the name. Right? Krishna's not manifesting his full glory. Does that make sense? Yeah. And that's only to the person, to that individual. With someone else, it's fine. Even at the sadhana stage, the name remains pure. The anartas of the sadhaka only make it look impure. By association with Vaishnavas, material mentality and anartas will go away. And the pure name will show through. Right? Because otherwise, that's the thing. If you're not adding something to the soul, like Krishna, you're only uncovering what's naturally the position. So the same thing with the name. Right? You're just uncovering what's there, because as long as we have coverings, then we can't see the pure name. As these coverings become less, then we start to see the name. And when they're removed, then... Yeah. With pious activities, one must reject them in the end, but one never rejects the name. Right? Because you have a goal, so then you have to give up the process. But for the holy name, it becomes the process to bring you to the goal. Like Baba comes down and becomes these lesser points, you know, all the different levels of sadhana to bring you to Baba. Right? And so the holy name is Prema, so it also extends all the way down to bring you to Prema. Okay. With pious activities, one must reject them in the end, but one never rejects the name. In one stage, it is covered. In the other, it is pure. But still, it's the name. By the mercy of the Guru, this knowledge is revealed. If this knowledge is lacking at the stage of sadhana, then one becomes an offender. But if one has faith that the name is supreme and without equal, then quickly the pure name will be revealed along with full bliss and nectar. One should commit this offense and desires relief. One should seek good association and purify one's intelligence. If an outcast is surrendered to the pure name for one's own purification, one should smear his foot dust on one's body, should eat his food remnants, and drink his foot water. In that way, one can similarly attain the pure name. An example of this is Kalidas. Right? So, means someone who's from a background is an outcast, but they take up the pure chanting, then others can become that same level of purity by their association, right? By service. 9. Inattention while chanting. Haridas spoke. To Sanatan Goswami in Puri and to Gopal Bhatta when you travel to South India, you taught the importance of performing one's chanting without inattention. Inattention is counted as one of the aparadhas. Even if one successfully overcomes all the other offenses in chanting, and one is chanting continuously, love of God may not come. One should know that the reason for this is that one is committing the offense known as pramada, or inattention. This offense will block progress to prema. In other words, if you're doing everything else perfect, you know you're doing everything else perfect. You can understand that you're transcendentally, spiritually situated, like that. But you're still not moving forward to prema, then it's because of this offense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pramada means madness. But here the meaning is inattention or carelessness. Right? This is, you know, you have such a perfect thing and you're not paying attention. That's madness. Yeah.
Also, in the four faults of humans, pramada is one. And Prabhupada defines the tendency to commit mistakes. So the mistakes happen because there is inattention.
There's inattention, yes, yes, yes. Okay, yes. Very good. Pramada may mean madness, but here the meaning is inattention or carelessness. It is from this offense that all other offenses spring. The wise men recognize three types of inattention: indifference or no attention, laziness, and distraction, attraction to other objects. Right, so there's no, you just don't care, or just laziness, you're just not putting any effort, or you're just distracted by other things. By good fortune, after getting faith, a jiva will take up the name. By chanting regularly, counting on a Tulsi Mala carefully, he will develop attraction for the name. However, until that attraction is actually developed, one must be very careful about how one chants. Naturally, the common man, having attachment to material things, will be attracted to these things even while chanting. Though chanting japa daily, if his taste is elsewhere, he will show indifference to the name. His heart will not be absorbed in chanting the name, but in some material object. How can that benefit him? He may chant 64 rounds, counting strictly on his japa beads, but in his heart he has not received one drop of the taste of the name. This indifference or apathy towards the name is one type of inattention. In the heart of a materialist, it is unavoidable. Mm-hmm. Right? So the materialist, that's all they do. But for the devotee, then he has to be careful. If indifference or lack of attraction for the name is present, one should take association of Vaishnavas who are properly chanting in some place sheltered from the material influence. By chanting in that situation, right, so in other words, you take shelter of the Vaishnavas and chant in a position where you don't have any material influence. Yes. Right, you know, like in the temple or, you know, the kirtan or, you know, in some kind of, you know, situation like that, or you try to make arrangements that, you know, you don't have any distractions. Yes. Does that make sense? You know, so in other words, you don't for your daily japa go sit down at, you know, Disney World or something. Right? You know, you go somewhere else. Right? Does that make sense? By chanting in that situation, his absorption in material things will be reduced. Being inspired by the conduct of the Vaishnavas, he will give up that fault. Right? So it's about being inspired by those who are chanting nicely. Gradually, the heart will get attraction for the name and will be anxious for the nectar of the name. The advanced devotees have recommended that one live in a place where Krishna had his pastimes, near Tulsi, in the company of Vaishnavas, and gradually increase the period of chanting. Quickly, the taste for material objects will go. Another remedy is to carefully chant in a room by oneself with the door locked. Right? You know, what's this? Yeah. The door locked. Where was the door locked? Or concentrate on the name by covering the eyes, ears, and nose with a cloth or the like to prevent stimuli from the exterior. I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in some place. You just sit down and put a blanket over your head. You know? Now and again, you see some people like that. I forget who it was. They sometimes chant like that. It's not so many often, because unless they've read this, they won't. I think, I'm not sure, it wasn't Bhujan Prabhu's wife. She was sitting in the temple chanting. And she had her chadar, so it was completely covering her whole body. And that. And she was there for a long time. And she doesn't seem to be one of the ones that rocks and chants. She just was just sitting peacefully. So then somebody thought she was asleep. Right? You know, after a long time. So they went and lifted up the cloth. As soon as they lifted it up, she's there, you know, bright and, what? Yeah, what's happening? Right? Then they said, oh, okay.
Huh? This is called a Tataka meditation, one of the forms of meditation.
What's the name?
Tataka.
Okay. So you... Nothing around. You also see the acharyas sometimes would have... One, it would be for the... These, they would have gophas in these caves. Mm-hmm. There would be like underground places. You see them, a few places have them in Vrindavan. Because there it's very dry, so the water table is very low. You can do it here. Anything above, below ground level won't work. So whatever, they have it holding the ground, they go down there and close it, and it's completely dark. There's no sound from outside, and they just absorb themselves in chanting. You know, because they just wouldn't, you know, people come around, people bother, this and that, you know, they want to come see the sadhu, so they would just go in their cave. Tataka.
Okay.
Carefully chanting in this way, an attraction or taste for the name will develop and indifference will be suppressed. Okay, so this is all in the way of indifference. Yeah, it means he's just... Okay. If one chants with a sluggish mind, or after chanting a little, one has to stop before finishing his round, it is called laziness. From this, one's taste for the name cannot develop. You know, it's just too much, you know. The remedy for this is to take association of Vaishnavas who do not waste time in material activity, but constantly chant and remember the holy name. By being absorbed only in the name. Constantly chant and remember the holy name, being absorbed only in the name. one should follow in their footsteps. When one sees how the true Vaishnava or Sadhu does not waste time in useless pursuits, he will develop a taste to do likewise. In his mind he will think, very good. By this, enthusiasm will come to the lazy mind, and he will overcome the offense of laziness or inertia. One will become determined to increase his chanting every day. By his eagerness in his rounds and by the mercy of the devotees, this offense of inertia will quickly go away. It's also interesting, you know, he says he doesn't finish the round. It's an interesting quality that one of the ones that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I think it was him. Yeah. That you never saw his beads. Right? Why would you see beads? Right? Either, you know, due to the lack of, you just pull them all the way out trying to figure, but why did, you know, to figure, you know, right? Or because they're hanging out of your bead bag because you didn't finish the round. So that means he would always finish the round. Does that make sense? Or if he couldn't, then he would just take up, you know, he'd just start again. You know, and then you just reach your hand in the bead bag. It's not an unlimited amount of beads. So if you just move them, at one point you get to the main bead. And then you can start your chanting. You don't have to pull them all out and all that.
In that sense, it is said it's a kind of offense also to show your beads out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not, I mean, just for Vrinda, why she doesn't want to be out. Like that. That's why she has to cough. That's why it says you always chant with your beads covered. Covered means in the bag. It doesn't mean it has to be in the bag under your chudder. That's one interpretation. But that's generally so that people don't harass. Like the Gaudiya Math Brahmacharis, when they'd ride on the train going to programs, they're just chanting there, then all the punks on the train will harass them. So then they have their chudder that's underneath the chudder they chant, and then everybody's happy. So then it came to be interpreted that it meant you have to cover your bead bag with the chudder, but it doesn't. It just means they're in the bead bag. Or if you don't have a bead bag, like Madhavendra Puri, then you chant by having them behind the chudder. You know? Does that make sense? Or the sannyasi, the Uttariya, they just take the bottom two corners, tie them, put them around their neck, and then put the beads in there and chant. Does that make sense? No? Okay. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.